Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
This past week, on early Tuesday morning, I realized that I was sick. And it hit me deeply. By about midday on Tuesday, I was running a fever about 101.6. I was sick. And called my staff and asked them to kind of take care of things here, and they did. And I hope that as you came in, you grabbed yourself a cookie and maybe some coffee or some juice. But all this week, I lived in sickness. I didn't even realize how sick I really was until I was in the middle of it and having conversations with God like, you know, you could take me now. It'd be all right. My kids are saved. You know, I've been the best husband my wife could ever ask for. So check, done. Anyways, I say all that to say two things. Number one, normally at Christmas time, like now, I love getting to just hug your necks and shake your hand and saying hi to friends I haven't seen in a while and just getting to say hello to you. So I'm sorry if I feel distant today. Merry Christmas. You don't take home what hopefully I'm over now. I say all that to say this is exactly why Jesus shows up. Because people were living in sickness and they didn't even know it. In Isaiah, before we get to our text in, again, Revelation, I want to read from Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, says this, "The people walking in darkness had seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. You've enlarged the nation, increased its joy, and the people rejoice before you." I love this, by the way. As they rejoice at the harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing spoils, for you have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod of their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For they are trampling boot of battle, the bloody garments of war, and burned as fuel for the fire. Do you see it yet? All the turbulence, all the sickness. And then it says, "For a child will be born for us." That sounds strange, doesn't it? Then in the midst of all the sickness, the answer is, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever, and the zeal of the Lord of the armies will accomplish this." You may be asking yourself, if we're reading from Revelation, why would you start there? I believe all scripture is God-breathed, don't you? It's useful. It's useful for our lives to thoroughly equip us for all good works. But once we realize that Jesus showed up for a purpose, it wasn't by accident. It was at the perfect time, in the perfect way. For a son would be born unto us, and he would be born unto us because we needed a God to feel our sickness. He needed to feel what we felt. He needed to experience what we experience. That way he could relate to us. We have a Savior who walked the earth and felt thorns, and we have a Savior who felt loss and cried about it. We have a Savior who laughed. You know, I often wonder why God chose that way of all ways. If all scripture is God-breathed, he made that way from the very beginning of time. We just read from the screen earlier, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything was created through him." What I find fascinating about the verse that we read earlier during worship is that it says that everything was created through him and by him and for him, and yet his creation knew him not. How do we not know our maker? Every once in a while, I'll buy a shirt. And inevitably, it'll have a tag that just is right there on the back of your neck and rubs your neck. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? And I don't know what y'all do when that moment happens, but what happens in my world is I cut it off. I'm not going to wear a shirt that sits there and rubs my neck. The only problem with that is what's on that tag. What's on that tag tells you exactly what kind of cloth it is. So when you go to iron it, you don't know exactly what cloth you're dealing with. The problem that we have in our society is we've cut off the maker's marks. And now we don't know how to deal with life. Because all things were created through him and by him. And the world doesn't know him. It's why when we enter this season of Christmas, it's so confusing. Because there's a lot of Christians walking without a Christ. Creation without a creator. So when we sing songs like, "Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." We don't know how. We don't know how to praise a Savior that we don't know. We don't know how to worship a Jesus that we've never walked with. And so because of that, he came and dwelt among us. In Revelation chapter 19, that's going to be our text today. We're going to talk through a different version of who Jesus is. Over the past several weeks, as we've been in reading through Revelation during the month of December, I urged you to try and find Jesus in the book of Revelation, to not get lost in some languages that maybe you don't understand exactly what John saw as the Lord was showing him the vision of things to come, but instead get lost in finding Jesus in the book of Revelation. Let him be your guide. Let him be the anchor with all the things happening. I have my own opinions of the timeline of how things may end, and yours may be different. The most amazing thing about that is, if you and I know Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're still going to be in heaven together. We can differ on everything else about Revelation, except one thing. Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's it. So if we try and find him in Revelation, we will start to understand that he is findable, that we can seek and find him if we'll seek him with all of our hearts. Amen. Revelation 19, verse 11 says, "Then I saw heaven opened, and there was a white horse, and its rider is called Faithful and True. And he judges and makes war with justice. His eyes were like fiery flame, and his crowns were on his head, and he had a name written that no one knows except for himself, wore a robe dripped in blood, and his name is called," what? "Word of God." Amen. "The armies that were in heaven followed him on white horses, wearing pure white linen. A sharp sword came from his mouth so that he might strike the nations with it. He will rule with them with an iron rod. He will also trample the winepress of the fierce anger of God, the Almighty. And he has a name written on his robe and on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." I wanted to spend some time with y'all this Christmas Eve, perhaps slowing us down for a second and taking time to see who Jesus is. I don't know if in your life you have a particular way that you pray to the Lord. I've discovered that the more I get to know people, the more I realize that they speak to the Lord with the name they know him most as. It could be Savior. It could be Father. It could be Lord. It could be Jesus. It could be Jehovah Rapha. It could be a million things. But I do know this, that the more time we spend with the Lord, the more we will start to see different sides of him. We'll start to learn that he is not a one-dimensional God. That he is not a God that's far off, that's never experienced what we experience. He doesn't live in high castles and never felt our suffering. In fact, just opposite, he not only felt our suffering, he took our infirmities, which means he absolutely has felt everything you felt. Your sorrow, your sickness, your pain. By his stripes, we're here. We are healed. He took everything that we had, our brokenness, and he pulled it into himself, the complete fullness of God. Remember last week we talked of him as being the sacrificial lamb that takes away the sin of the world. So let's talk about a few of the Lord's names from the passages we just read. Jesus is first a wonderful counselor. I've discovered in times of my life that I become very internal. I become almost a mental case when it comes to the things of God. I start to question and doubt, and I have fears that rise up. I allow anxiety to rise in my life. And in those moments, I've discovered that if I will turn to the Lord, He is a wonderful counselor. He is willing to walk me through like that good shepherd that we read of in Psalms, who lays us down beside quiet waters, who restores our soul, and who is also there in the valley of the shadow of death. He is a wonderful counselor because He walks with us. But let us not forget, He is also a mighty God. This is something that I think too often we forget. And listen to me, dear friend, Christian. God is always going to be God, which means He sits on the throne, and He is not a fool. He is completely mighty in all He does. So know this, our God will not be mocked. For whatever a man reaps, he will also sow. Or flip that. I don't care, I'm sick. Anyways, just know this. God loves you too much to leave you alone. Amen. And when you and I in our lives say things like, God, where are you? We have to know He is never gone. Amen. He is never far off. He has never left us, nor would He ever forsake us. So when we feel like we're alone, the enemy has convinced you and told you that you are. And listen to me, friend, you're never alone. Amen. Oh, He loves you so deeply. The next is this, He is the eternal Father. Which means this. We don't have a good grip on eternity. I think sometimes if we're at the DMV or in the line at Walmart, we feel like we get a good grip of eternity. But we don't know what eternity really feels like. Our watches are so quick. They convince us that life is full of length and days, but we realize we're not given the next moment. But God is eternal, which means this, and this is where our minds have to just stop in our understanding of how God works. He is eternal before creation of the world as He is after. Amen. Which means God didn't have to have a starting point. We want Him to. We want to know where He came from. Who created God? Like, that's what we want to be able to say, and science will tell you we did. As though we breathed anything into life. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. The eternal Father is eternal in nature because we needed something bigger than our temporary moments. The next is this, Prince of Peace. This is a hard one. Why is this a hard one? Because we don't always feel like God is peaceful, do we? Sometimes we feel like He's not that at all. We feel like He's anti-peace. We look at our world and we go, well, if God is a God of peace, where is it? I mean, if God is really that eternal Father, then how can He also be the Prince of Peace? And I want you to know what this peace is. This is not world peace. This is not God saying, I'm going to create no war for y'all. In fact, if anything, we choose war. We choose death on a daily basis. The wages of sin is death. We choose death. We applaud death. We watch it on the news. We hunger to hear the news of death. And in full understanding of God's nature, if He is the Prince of Peace, it means that He is not the Prince of world peace, but of your peace. Amen. That in the midst of us seeking death, He comes that we would have life and peace in Him. Amen. He's the Prince of Peace because He wants to give you as an individual peace today. Yes. And the peace He gives you, the world doesn't understand. Amen. It can't build it and it can't keep it. You see the peace that God brings. They don't even understand how it works. I've seen it in you, though. I see it in the faces of this church body. In moments of complete turbulence, I see where the Lord has brought you peace. I've seen it in hospital rooms and in living rooms. I've seen it in this room. Where God does something that is unexplainable, He goes beyond human joy and He gives His joy and His peace. You see, the world can bring you temporary joy. It could be a lottery ticket, temporary joy, only until you find out that Uncle Sam takes half of that lottery ticket for himself. You see, the world can give you temporary joy. It just can't last. Amen. The world can give you temporary peace. It's just not worth it. You see, that eternal Father never changes. And so the peace He brings weathers every storm. But our God is also the Lord of armies. This is something that we need to remember. Our God is mighty. He is mighty. And so the enemy, the devil, isn't as strong as the armies of God, let alone Him. I mean, angels can easily take over the enemy, and you are the son and daughter of God. Don't ever forget that in this season. I don't know what's happening in your heart in this season. If Christmas is great for you or it's sad, I want you to know something. The Lord of armies stands and waits to say to you, He has got you, that He loves you, that He knows what you're going through, and He stands beside you in this moment so that you will know this, He loves you. Amen. And He has made a plan for your life. Amen. He is the King of Kings, meaning that no other person can stand on His throne, not one. My dad and I years ago went to India, and we went to this town called Mysore. Mysore was the town of English kings when they occupied England, and it was opulent. The sheer palaces were magnificent. You had to take your shoes off to walk through them. And the murals on the wall were exquisite. The cut stones around the place were amazing. Every kind of drive around in that city had a statue of a former king, and they all perished. Every single one of those guys died. Every single one of them, but not one of them died for their people. They just died. Then my dad and I went to this temple, the Hare Krishna temple. I've shared this with y'all before, where the Beatles learned to play the sitar. And we walked into this Hare Krishna temple, and they had dipped one of their gurus, their teachers, in gold after he died. And he's just there. And he's dead. I mean, if he didn't die before, the gold did him in. It's like, oh yeah, we know you're dead, bro. Dipped. Like, it was creepy. But that dude died. And there is nobody there for those people. And he didn't die for them. He just died. And we can just go through history of all these gods that have entertained people's minds or hearts that today are worshiping who knows where, who are serving gods who didn't die for them, who don't love them, who didn't make a plan for them. And they all died. And not one of them died for them. Except one. Jesus. And this Jesus, He died for the sins of His people, and He rose again in 3 days, and He is the King of Kings, and no one will sit on His throne. And He loves you so much that He gave Himself for you. The last is, He is the Lord of Lords. And this is one that I believe today you and I need to take seriously. In this Christmas season, you and I need to identify as Jesus just this guy that was born, that we celebrate His birth in December each year. Or is He the Lord of our life? Every year you and I we gather around this time and we have the candlelight service. And we sing songs about Jesus. And once a year, we think about him. We may even pray to him or sing about him at home even. Whatever it may be, we all participate in some way, but this is that season. And outside of this, maybe Easter. Maybe Easter is that, but that's really it. You and I have an opportunity today to not just come to a candlelight service, but to let that flame burn in our hearts from here on out. To let Jesus be the true Lord of our life. And to declare him, Lord, there is no other Lords above you. Today, maybe you came and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Lord meaning he leads your life, and Savior meaning that he saved you from your sin. Scripture tells us all have sinned. All of us, me and you alike. And we all need a Savior. And Jesus died for our sins. Will the worship team come? I want you to know today that right where you are, you can declare Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. If you will believe and confess, you can know Jesus today as the Savior and Lord of your life. Do not mistake this moment as just another Christmas Eve service. This is your opportunity today to make Jesus the Lord of your life. I hope you'll do that today. I'm going to have some friends here in a minute that are going to be standing here to greet you and to talk to you about Jesus. I hope you'll come and talk to one of them and tell them exactly how you would like to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray, Jesus, that you would just win this moment. God, that you would speak over everybody in this room. And Lord, that you would change this environment with your presence. Lord Jesus, speak and let us listen. Let us declare you the Lord of Lords today. The Lamb who pays the price for the sins of the world. We give you this moment and we declare you as our need. Oh, come, let us adore you. Jesus, may you win this moment. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org, tcqc.org, or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.